Jesus made seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. Powerful statements, because each one of them by itself, standing just on its own, would be enough to make a claim that he is God. I am, Jesus said. First, he said, I am the bread of life. Like bread, Jesus is available to everyone. Christianity is not exclusive. God sent Jesus for the salvation of the world. Jesus took five loaves and two fish and fed over 5,000 people. Like the leaven that changes the ingredients of bread, Jesus comes into our lives and completely changes each of us. Jesus took bread and broke it and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." We continually come to the Lord's table to seek the satisfaction of our greatest need, Jesus, the bread of life. In this Christmas season, we understand that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. Light was God's idea in the first place. He created it in the beginning. God said, let there be light. On the fourth day, God created the sun, moon, and stars. Jesus healed the blind man in John 9, bringing him out of a world of darkness into the world of light. Jesus was the light that led Israel out of Egypt, through the wilderness, and into the promised land. As Israel was led by the light of the world, so we as Christians are led out of the darkness and slavery of sin into the marvelous light of a new life. In this Christmas season, we understand that Jesus was born under the light of a special star. Jesus also said, I am the door. We looked at a number of doors. There was the door to heaven. That door was shut because of sin. That door of the law keeps heaven pure from sinners. There is also, though, a door into heaven, who is Jesus. Because of the value of Jesus' life, he could pay the price and provide a way for any person who trusts in him to gain heaven. There is also a door to our heart. We're in charge of that door. According to Revelation 3:20, Jesus stands at the door of our hearts and asks to come in. When we let Jesus into our hearts, confessing our sin and receiving him as our Lord and Savior, he comes in and changes our lives. In this Christmas season, we are reminded of the door of the inn in Bethlehem, which was closed to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Jesus also said, I am the good shepherd. As my good shepherd, Jesus restored my soul. That is being born again, or born from above. Jesus brought me back from spiritual death to spiritual life. As my good shepherd, Jesus protects and provides for me. As my good shepherd, Jesus leads me in the paths of righteousness. As my good shepherd, Jesus protects and provides for me all the days of my life. As my good shepherd, Jesus carries me through the valley of the shadow of death. As my good shepherd, Jesus prepares for me a wonderful home in heaven. I need a shepherd. I have a shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. He forever will be my shepherd. In this Christmas season, we remember Jesus was born in a stable, a place where the shepherds worked and where they came to worship the shepherd king. Jesus also said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus took our greatest enemies, sin and death, and completely abolished them. While Jesus was dealing with sin and death, he took compassion on Lazarus's family, Martha and Mary. He told Martha the truth because she was a thinking person. He wept with Mary because she was a feeling or emotional person. And then he raised Lazarus, demonstrating his power to bring life out of death. The resurrection is not only an event. He is a person. There can only be a resurrection because of the resurrection, because of Jesus. Because of the resurrection of Lazarus, God was glorified. Because of the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus was identified. And because of the resurrection, the faith of all those involved increased. This morning we're going to look at John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, starting with verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus had just washed his disciples' feet, demonstrating his servant leadership to them, desiring them to follow his example. Jesus had just sent Judas out to betray him. And then Jesus had just predicted his own death. Now Jesus commands, do not let your hearts be troubled. How could the disciples not be troubled over these circumstances? All of their future hopes had been dashed. Peter even claimed that he would die beside Jesus if he had to. In fact, he probably would have wanted to die because of Jesus' death. They were all troubled. And Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Hope he gives now for the hurting or the troubled heart. He says, you believe in God. Believe also in me. You believe in God. You need to believe in me, in Jesus. Why would they put their faith and their trust and their hope in Jesus? They had seen all his miracles. They had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead, and their faith had grown. But Jesus wanted to take them to the next level. They had been satisfied with their faith. Jesus wanted them to thirst for more faith. In my Father's house are many mansions. I kind of like that better than rooms. Literally, it is probably closer to rooms. But there's room in God's house for you. No man, woman, or child left behind. His provision is for every single person in the world today. He opened that door when he said, "I am the door." And he says, "Come, there is room for you in the Father's house." So Jesus said, first of all, "I am the way." He was going to prepare a place for you. Where was Jesus going? When I was little, I was taught by my Sunday school teachers that Jesus was going to heaven. And in my mind, I could see him with his saw and his hammer and, you know, building up those mansions up in heaven for me to live in when I died. It's a great picture, and it's true, isn't it? Well, maybe not altogether. He probably has more sophisticated equipment in heaven than we could ever imagine. The truth is, he could just speak the word and bring things into creation. So I'm sure that's a very small thing for him to make an extra room for me and for you. But literally, Jesus was going to the cross to make a way for us to get to heaven. He is the way. The only way to heaven. Objections that we hear. Why is Jesus the only way? If God decided to make a way for people to go to heaven, what right do we have to go back to him and say his way is not fair? How many ways do we want him to make? If Jesus was his way, shouldn't we accept the way he made? In reality, it's our pride that demands God do things our way and not his way. We should be thankful that he made a way, that he sent his son. And I don't know about you, but if I sacrificed my son so that people could go to heaven, wouldn't it be quite offensive for them to try to come any other way? Jesus is God's way. And he made that way for all of us to come. It's not limited. He is the bread everyone partakes of bread. Everyone can partake of Jesus. Some people believe that we will live on a new earth and never make it to heaven. Their argument is that Christ's death gives us the opportunity to regain the Garden of Eden. Instead, God made a way for us to become his children. Not only to go back to where Adam was, but to come up to where Jesus is. To take us from earth to heaven, he totally turned the plan of Satan on its head. You did your best to destroy what I created. Let me show what I'm going to do now. I am going to take sinners and make them saints. I'm going to make the sons and daughters of men the sons and daughters of God. Our place now is far better than Adam's place was in the Garden of Eden. He has something far better for us today than Adam had to look forward, even if he had lived for all of eternity in the Garden of Eden. Jesus said, I am the way. Are we willing to accept Jesus as our way, as my way? Are you frustrated with living life your way? Why not try God's way through Jesus? The bottom of the second page in your bulletin this morning will probably feature a number of these, because there's not one that's just simply found in the Bible. But this is at the end of Steps to Peace with God, put out by Billy Graham. It's a very simple salvation prayer. If you don't know the Lord, you can pray it yourself. If you know someone who doesn't know the Lord, share it with them. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Guide my life and help me to do your will. In your name, amen. Just a simple prayer, but it makes all the difference in the world. It's the way God provided for us to come to him. Jesus is the way. And we need just to make it personal. So Jesus said, I am the way. He also said, I am the truth. In the past, there was a great emphasis on telling the truth. We were taught when I was a child in Sunday school, the Ten Commandments. In a lot of public places, the Ten Commandments were posted for us to see. The wall in my house, in the living room in my house, has a copy of the Ten Commandments. I got a tour of the rescue mission this past week, and on one of the walls there was a modern version of the Ten Commandments. So important for us to keep them in mind. Exodus 20, verse 16 says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Today we're not concerned about lying. In fact, we're not too concerned about the truth. One senator who just retired confessed that he had lied about another politician. He didn't apologize for lying. In fact, this is a direct quote. He said, it's one of the best things I've ever done. Is anyone surprised that lying was the best thing a senator ever did? Now we're hearing all about how Russia stole internet information to affect the election. What's worse, lying or stealing? Jesus came and said he was the truth. The truth is very important. Telling the truth is very important. Living the truth is very important. Ed Marion told this story of a friend he called Ace. Ace and his business partner had owned a property and casualty insurance agency. They had put in the years and the sweat, and the agency grew into a respected mid-sized firm. It attracted the attention of one of the big conglomerates. After some negotiations back and forth, Ace and his partner decided to sell to the big guns, agreeing to stay on as consultants and continue to do some selling. The paperwork was completed in a flash, and everyone seemed pleased. After a couple of years, Ace and his partner felt they weren't active enough and decided they wanted to go back to running a brisker business like they had before. The big guns said they couldn't, claiming they had agreed to never again work in insurance outside the big firm. Ace said, "Show me where we agreed to such a thing." The big guns claimed it had been an oral agreement. Ace knew there had never been such a discussion, much less an agreement. So he said, in effect, "See you in court." In court, the judge agreed an oral contract is as good as a written one, if it could be established that there was a contract. His issue was whom to believe. after 2 days of listening to both sides insist their memory was the truth of it, the judge said, in effect, it's basically a question of who do I believe? In the absence of any real evidence, I have to go with my gut. My gut tells me to trust experience. The experience that's relevant here is that a number of years ago, Ace played in a golf state championship. On the 18th, he hooked a drive into the rough. He was up and out in one, made his putt, and everyone thought he had won the tournament. Except that Ace admitted he had grounded his club in the hazard and declared a two-shot penalty on himself. No one had seen him ground his club. He could have slinked through and taken the win, but he didn't. He told the truth when he didn't have to, and I believe he's telling the truth now. Case closed. We call that integrity. Integrity is important. Jesus claimed to be the truth. You can trust all the statements Jesus made concerning himself. He proved every one. You can also trust all the promises Jesus made in the Bible that refer to you, including your own salvation. Have you put your trust in him? He said he came to die so he could forgive our sin. He said he came to provide you with salvation and a new life. He promised you an eternity with him in heaven. If you've never prayed again, I refer to the prayer here in our bulletin this morning. You can put your faith in Jesus today. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. He said, I am the life. Back in the book of Genesis, God told Adam not to eat from the tree of the Garden of Eden. God told Adam that if he ate from that tree, he would surely die. Adam ate from that tree, and that day he died spiritually and later would die physically. I visited a lady in the hospital this week who was waiting to die. She didn't talk. She didn't open her eyes. Her son was there. And he said, it's only a matter of time. In fact, he said, I think she's already gone, even though she's still breathing. That's true of all of us, isn't it? The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. But this lady knew Jesus as her Savior. What a difference that makes. She couldn't talk. I'm not sure if she could understand when I read the scripture or prayed with her. But I know today that she's with Jesus in heaven. Why? Because Jesus is the life. This is the confidence that we have in him. He said he had the power to lay his life down and the power to pick it up again. He had that power. He proved it in his own resurrection. And we base our resurrection, our future life, our eternal life on Jesus' life. If he can give his life for himself, if he can give his own life and take it up again, he can certainly bring us back to life again. Just think about it. The power that's involved to be able to lay your life down and pick it up again. That's creator power. That's God power. We can't do that. Somebody else, if I had a heart attack, Craig could come up here and pound on my chest. But you wouldn't see me up here working on it. You know, it would have to be somebody else, wouldn't it? But Jesus had that life in himself. And he possessed it in such a way that he could lay it down and pick it up. You could say to me that this morning, that's impossible. And I'd say, that's right. It is impossible. But is anything impossible for God? No. And that's just what he did. So I trust in his integrity. In God, who cannot lie because he is the truth. We can trust in him. And we do. Aren't you glad he's alive? Lord Jesus, we're so thankful today that you are alive. And that you are life-giving. We thank you for the eternal life that you have given to us. That you died for us. To pay the penalty for our sin, and that you have come in to our lives and given us that life. Bless us, Lord, as we live lives seeking to please you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.